Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Dog and Duck Show. My name is Warren. I am the dog. And with me, I have one of the greatest Husky quarterbacks of all time, Steve Pelure. Steve, thank you for joining us and welcome to the Dog and Duck Show.
Thanks, Warren. It's an honor to be here.
Well, for many people, there's no introduction needed, but Steve, going back to your time as a Husky, you really did some remarkable things. You were a multiple-year starter, offensive player of the year in the Pac-10, led the Huskies to a Rose Bowl berth, and had a record for a while, I believe, of 137 passes without an interception, which was pretty remarkable, and then went on to have a great NFL career and be a part of just an epic line of Husky quarterbacks who succeeded in college and in the NFL. So tell us a little bit about what this has been like for you to see what Michael Penix has done over these last couple of years as a Husky quarterback, being a quarterback yourself. Just give me your thoughts about Michael Penix and the job he's done for these Washington Huskies.
I mean, to me, the feeling I get is relating to what he's doing in our team now. It seems to me like what I was doing in college was like peewee football compared to what they're doing now. I mean, I have no idea how they even call these plays now. I don't have any idea how they shift around, you know, 2, 3, 4 times. You know, how do you call that? Like, we didn't even have the shotgun in college. You know, when I went to Dallas, you know, they were kind of the innovators of the shotgun. And so, you know, in college we were under center all the time, and Coach James, you know, he would only let me throw the ball in 2 minutes if I was lucky. So, I mean, it was, you know, run first down, second down, third down, and, you know, throw it only if you have to. So
yeah,
it's amazing to me what they do, what these receivers are able to do, the back shoulder throws to, you know, Adunze and McMillan and just our offensive line, how they've protected him. I mean, to be top in the nation or up in the top of the nation in terms of sacks, I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. I mean, I'm just every time I watch, I'm just in awe. I mean, I wasn't in as much awe in the Apple Cup as I was, you know, at the beginning of the season. But, you know, I think they've struggled, and I think, you know, they don't have as good a weather the last couple games. So I don't think people realize how tough it is for them to stay as focused as they were early in the season.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, you've played at the highest level. You had success as a sophomore, and then, you know, your senior year, you really, put it all together and had a tremendous final season. And I'm sure that there were some times where you felt, you know, pressure in some of these games. And yet, you know, when I listened to and watched the video for your Husky Hall of Fame, induction, one of the things that the guy said was that you kept the mood really light in the huddle, and that you let them feel like, hey, we're just out there playing some backyard football. And then if you needed to kind of command the attention of the room, you had the ability to do that. But how do you kind of balance those types of emotions of, hey, we've got to give our best effort, we've got to be totally locked in, and yet not become overwhelmed by the size of the moment?
I mean, it wasn't really until late in my career where I really felt like I could totally play with freedom and just understanding, like, it's not all on me. All I have to do is my job. I just got to get the ball to the playmakers, you know? And I think if you have that mentality, you know, it's easier to kind of take that pressure off your shoulders. But I carried a ton of weight when I was in college. I remember my junior year, I mean, we go into Stanford, we were ranked number one in the nation. I was just feeling so much pressure. Like, I got to do this. I got to win this game. I got to, you know, it's, and when you're so focused on yourself, you know, it's tough to be a good teammate and play with freedom. And so I think that's, you know, what I think Mike Penix has done so well is he's been able to take all his skills and get the ball to the playmakers. I am concerned that he's taken too much on himself. In fact, I'm wondering if at the Apple Cup, when his, you know, head was down after the game and then he put the coat over, if it was just kind of releasing a lot of the pressure that he had felt, you know, I have no idea what he was feeling, but I feel that guy cares so much. And I think he's carrying, you know, I think that's probably a lot of some of their struggles in the last couple of games is he wants so badly to help his team and lead. And I think he is carrying a ton of pressure.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you probably would have a perspective that few people do, having been a quarterback at the University of Washington. Like you said, coming into a game, feeling the pressure being number one in the country. And, you know, Don James is obviously the greatest head coach in UW history. He's got the statue out in front of the stadium for a reason. He was a great coach. Also actually spoke at Impact Players, which is an organization that I lead, several years ago before he passed away. And but now Kalen DeBoer has taken over, and I'm sure that you may be able to draw some similarities, but also some unique differences between the two, because you had the opportunity to play for Don James. Your son Zeke had the opportunity to play under the great Chris Peterson, Jimmy Lake, and then in Kalen DeBoer's first season. So give me a little bit of your perspective of what Kalen DeBoer has done and any similarities or differences between him and what Don James was able to do during his successful tenure.
I think what I really have enjoyed about Kalen DeBoer is just his desire to see the players lead. And I think that was, I don't think Coach James really was as good as at doing that until later in his career. I think he seemed to loosen up later in his career and let the players lead a little bit more. When I was there, you know, he would stand up on his tower at practice and just would not, you know, he always seemed to have a frown on his face. And only time he talked to me was when, you know, he was yelling at me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, is not something that, you know, I have real fond memories of it because he was just an intimidating factor. You know, you're almost playing out of fears because he knew he was watching you. Whereas I think he loosened up over the years and was more engaging with especially the captains. But I really feel like DeBoer's mantra is, you know, great teams are player led. And I totally buy into that. And I think he really fosters that. He really encourages the players to take the lead. And so I really like that. I didn't really get that close to Jimmy Lake, so I don't know that much about, you know, him and his style. But you know, I think Coach James was kind of old school, kind of in the Nick Saban deal, where there's this, you know, intimidation factor a little bit. But I don't see that with Coach DeBoer.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve, I know that you come from a family that has a lot of Cougs in the heritage, and yet you became a Dog. So I can only assume that the Apple Cup has had special meaning to you for many years. And of course, this being the last Apple Cup this past Saturday in the history of the series as it relates to the Pac-12, what was it like for you to play in the Apple Cup, to see your son play in the Apple Cup, and to just then witness this final, you know, showdown between the Huskies and the Cougars this past Saturday?
It's been crazy. I mean, it just seems like every Apple Cup that I've been involved in has been just seems to have become such an important game, like in terms of making the Rose Bowl or, you know, something happening. I mean, my freshman year, you know, the Cougars had a chance to knock us off and they were ahead at halftime. And I saw my mom in the stands. She was taunting me because she's a Coug. She's saying, "Hey, look at the scoreboard, pal." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? You know, your son is here and you're taunting him because you're a Coug fan."
That's hilarious.
And then, you know, my sophomore year, I was, you know, super young, scared, spitless, and, you know, playing in Husky Stadium and just in a windy, crazy game that we ended up winning, and that launched us into the Rose Bowl. And then my junior year, losing to the Cougs to kick us out of the Rose Bowl in an upset in Pullman. And then my senior year is when I felt the most pressure, just because, you know, I had had such a great senior season and we had another chance to go to the Rose Bowl and they knocked us out again. So, you know, if it wasn't for the Cougs, I would have been to four straight Rose Bowls, you know, and that would have been, so anyway, I look back on it with a lot of fond memories, but a lot of agony as well.
It sounds that way. You know, it's pretty serious when mom is giving you grief on the sidelines.
That is for sure. You don't expect that.
You know, did that continue with Zeke, with your kids?
No, I mean, I think, although I think my mom in the Apple Cup last year, his last year, I think she would have been fine if the Cougars would have won.
Yeah.
You know, she's not, you know, I've got other members of the family that are a little bit more rabid than my mom. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's great. I love it. Well, you know, as we turn our attention to this Friday, the Huskies have what could be arguably the biggest and most important and consequential game in the entire history of the Pac-12. The 12-0 Washington Huskies going up against the 11-1 Oregon Ducks in the Pac-12 championship game. Winner gets into the college football playoffs. The loser most likely is out. The winner is going to have, on some level, eternal bragging rights for the Pac-12, as this is the final game in the history of the conference. So as you think about just the meaning of this game, what would it mean to you as a former Husky to see the Dogs go out of the Pac-12 on top as the champions, 13-0 in the final year of the Pac-12?
Oh, it would be epic if they could win this. I mean, it really would. I mean, it what a testament to those kids and the coaches. I mean, just to what they've accomplished. And you know, they set high goals. So, you know that they were planning on this, and to see it unfold has been incredible. I mean, and I think what makes it so special for Huskies is that, you know, we were just dominated by the Ducks for, you know, it seemed like almost a decade, you know, when Chip Kelly was there. And it was just so painful to get hammered by the Ducks. And I know we had our years prior to Chip Kelly, but you know, to be back at the same level, and to beat them the last couple of years, I think just has, I don't know, it's been such a great feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can imagine just feelings of pure elation. By the way, I didn't look this up before we did this podcast, but did you ever lose to the Ducks during your time as a Husky quarterback?
I did not. No, we won every game. I think my senior year was we played up here, and it was fairly close.
Okay.
Actually, no, we played down there because I had a 60-yard run in Autzen Stadium that
Wow.
hopefully is going to stand as the longest quarterback run there. I'm not sure if it is.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Well, Steve, I may be wrong on this, but I believe that there are three Husky quarterbacks who have won the Pac-10 or Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year and won a Rose Bowl. And it's you, Warren Moon, and Marcus Tuiasosopo. I would say that's pretty good company.
Wow, that is pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it
It
has been fantastic being able to chat a little Husky football with you. Any final thoughts for our dog and duck listeners as we wrap this thing up?
you know, I think they're going to win. I do. I mean, I know most everybody doesn't, but I like that the fact that we're an underdog. I just think we play better as underdogs. We played better last year as underdogs. You know, when people aren't expecting them, I think they're more focused. I think they're gonna keep drives alive. And so I'm excited to see what happens.
Well, Husky Nation is excited with you, Steve. For all my dog fans out there, go dogs. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Warren.